listen to the Jason Greger Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.AB.ca. Joins us, Beck. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Beautiful day, man. How can you not be good today?
It is. It's very good. Plus 25 out. It's going to be hot here for the next few days. We like it. You got MLB trade deadline going on. You got the Elks trying to get back on track. They didn't get some great news for day one, as they're arguably maybe their most consistent defensive tackler, rookie of the year last year, is banged up. Didn't practice today. Didn't finish last game. So we'll see if Nick Alexander's ready or not. But you look at the Major League Baseball trade deadline, Spec, and what's fascinating about it is there isn't a dominant team. There's no team playing even 600 ball right now.
Yeah.
And which is hard to do, but still, like, that's winning percentage. It's not points percentage like the NHL. So you look at it, and there's lots of teams in the running. The Jays did acquire one reliever today, and he's got an electric arm. He can strike you out a lot. He can also walk a lot. But when he's on, he's pretty damn good, and he's got playoff experience, which is nice. You know, the Jays, the Brewers, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, like the Tigers, man, they're all involved here. This could be a crazy arms race in the next 48 hours.
Well, it's fun when there's no dominant team, because that means more teams look at themselves and go, hey, man, we got a shot. Like, we're in this thing. We're, you know, there's six teams or seven that are looking at each other and saying, you know what, we could win. There's nobody out here that's vastly better than us. In the past years, I think the Dodgers have sort of made a lot of teams say, well, we're pretty good, but we're not as good as the Dodgers. I don't think that the Dodgers aren't near that good this year. So, you know, Toronto's probably a good example, right? Here they are, you know, one of the very top of the Major League Baseball standings. Nobody saw it coming. Cubs are good. Brewers are good. Detroit's good. You know, there's a bunch of good. Dodgers are good. Yankees aren't that far off. They can always pick it up with the right, you know, the right trade deadline. So it's fun. Like, the trade deadline's going to be fun, and the stretch run's going to be fun, Jay, because now it's not like there's just one team to watch. There's about seven teams to watch here, and someone's going to have to play a wild card game that probably didn't think they were going to.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's very fair too. Right. And it's never good. Spec, we had guys on earlier today from AFP Analytics, Kyle Stitch. Okay. And, you know, they specialize it. They break down all the numbers and looking at projection of players. And they had Pod Colson at coming in around $2.4 million on his next deal if they wanted to extend him now. They had Ekholm, Wallman. Wallman on a five-year deal at $6.5 million. Ekholm on a two-year deal at just over, I think it was 6.5, maybe 6.4. I can't remember. Anyway, it's right in that. But, and then McDavid was up at 16.4. And yep. Brett Kulak was at 3.9. Although, you know, we all admit it, I don't think they're going to re-sign Wallman, Kulak, and Ekholm. They just, you don't need to pay that many, you know, left. They need a right shot defenseman at some point. So they won't get all of them. But you look at any of those numbers, which one stands out, either pro or nay for you?
That's a fair question. I don't mind. I think probably you should be able to get Ekholm for a little less, because, you know, when you sign Pod Colson, he's on the way up, and you feel like he's going to be better this year than last year, and maybe better the next year than the year before that. I've got so much respect for Matthias Ekholm. Don't get me wrong. But he's on the downside of his career. So my point would be, you know, I'm paying him. I don't think he's going to be as good the following year as he is in the first year of that deal. So, but, I mean, we're splitting hairs. Like, if you're playing, you know, if I'm Matthias Ekholm and his agent, and you're telling me I'm going to play with Bouchard, which at this point I don't see how they're not, you know, unless something changes, he's going to be a first-pairing defenseman on this team. First-pairing defenseman makes $6.5 million, pal. Like, don't tell me I'm going to pay you $3.5 million, but I'm going to use you 24 minutes a game. No, no. If you're using me that much, if you're playing with me with Bouchard, then you got to pay me commensurately, like the number two defenseman that you're using me as. So I don't mind any of those numbers. Frankly, I think those guys are generally right down the pipe, AFP, man. Every time I see a number they come up with, I have a hard time arguing with it. What do you think?
Yeah, they're pretty close. The one that they mentioned on McDavid at 16.4, you know, and they said a 4-year deal, maybe even a 3-year deal, you know, to match with Bouchard. I'm not sure that, but it got me thinking, Spec, that
yeah,
because if McDavid really wanted to, he could sign a one-year extension at $14 million.
Okay.
Then next summer, he signs a 3 or 4 year deal at $17 million. Now, the reason why is because, A, yeah, there's really no risk and no insurance risk because he's already had insurance on his current contract that runs this year, right? He got that. And they've all the elite players, I talked to insurance, I talked to agents, they've got their career. Like, some guys have their hands insured, legs. Like, it's wild what you can insure if you want to, right? And so he does it. So on the slight chance that there's, like, this, you know, career-threatening injury, which, let's be honest, it's a very low chance. Just look at the history of the game. It's a low chance.
When you're Connor McDavid, you get insurance.
Yes, and he has it anyway, right? So, yeah. But he already has that for this final year of his deal anyway. So then next summer, before his one-year deal kicks in, he can sign an extension for $3 or $4 million. And the reason I say that is because the one-year deal would be at a cap hit of $104 million. Then at a $14 million, so that saves the team $2 million. So if you wanted the team to be more competitive for 1 year, he's not giving up any money because then he signs the extension higher than the $16 million that people thought he'd get to go to $17 million for 3 years. So he makes it up. But by then the cap's up to $113 million, maybe $118 million, maybe $120 million, whatever it is. And you're not hurting your team, but you're giving your team in maybe the a final year of some of guys getting older. If you think your window closes slightly, it's just a better deal. We haven't seen it very often. We see it tons in the NBA. Guys sign one-year deals all the time. I know it's at way more money, so I understand it. But if we're looking at it theoretically, that's a way to give your team a better chance to win and really cost you nothing in the long term. If you were looking at a four-year deal at 16, you do a one-year at 14 and 3 year at 17. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I hear you. And I want to say, well, there's two things for me. The NBA is where a lot of the trends begin and come from. You know, all the agents work in agents, not all of them, most of them work in agencies where they have colleagues that are NBA guys, like, you know, Octagon's got NBA guys, NFL guys, NHL guys. So they're all talking, they're all working together here, right? So if the NBA's doing it and it works there, it's frankly an eventuality to me before something smart from the NBA or NFL finds its way into hockey. Now, I would ask you, is there an NHL player who's ever done that before? Is there a pre-existing example here, Jason?
Definitely not an elite level. I can't think of guys signing one-year deals, no. But just because you haven't done it before doesn't mean it isn't smart. That's why called inventions, Spec, because no one's done it before.
That's why they're called inventions. I like that. you know what? I don't see a lot of, I mean, the only hole in the thing is, you know, if McDavid, something horrible happens and he doesn't get to play anymore, which is, you know, I don't even want to talk about that because it's bad luck. But insurance covers that, right? Insurance covers that. Mm-hmm. He's got lots of money. He can afford his insurance, all of that stuff. So, you know what? It's interesting.
And if that happens when he had signed a 3 year deal and it happened in the first year, well, that doesn't change anything. Right, it just means now he's on LTIR. That's the only difference.
I know. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. But, I mean, the only thing I would say to you is that guys, you know, I guess I know that there's certainly, like, if I'm, you know, the example would be a guy like Vinny Desharnais who grabbed that 2 year, $4 million deal as fast as he could because he hasn't earned much and he wanted to get, you know, some security and make some money. And I'd have signed it if I was him on a heartbeat in Vancouver.
But here's the thing, Spec. What if I told you that Vinny Desharnais had turned down a 4 year deal for $2 million during the season earlier?
By the Oilers.
Yes.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, that I can tell you that's for certain indeed occurred.
Yeah, well, then he probably should have taken it.
Got some bad agent advice right there.
Well, it's bad. I mean, yes, it's always 50-50 for me. You know, in today's world, in the end, the agent works for the player and the player tells the agent what to do. Yeah. So, yes, the agent advises you. And yes, the agent is supposed to be all over the market and his advice is supposed to be sound. But in the end, the player is the one who says, I want it or I don't want it. Yeah. And so it's 50-50, but sure. I don't know. It's interesting. You know, does McDavid, like, do the Oilers want to have a, you know, are you signing almost two contracts at the same time under this scenario, Jason? Or do the Oilers fear, you know, are the Oilers saying, boy, I'd sure love to get this guy in a contract for 4 or 5 more years just because of all the, you know, the myriad of reasons it's good to have Connor McDavid under contract.
Yeah, well, it's very true. It just comes down to a lot of, like, there has to be trust in the organization. And I think there is, my understanding is there's lots of trust. You know, his former agents, the CEO of the organization, I think that was done for a variety of reasons of knowing that Connor, you know, knows him, trusts him, all of that. So to me, this is just smart business. If you wanted, that's totally legal. That if you wanted to look at it, you could do it. It's happened in other leagues. It has not happened in the NHL, but that doesn't mean it's a wrong idea or a bad idea. And it doesn't mean that, because I know we get texts, well, Gregor, what if he leaves? Well, what if he decides after 1 year he wants a trade and asks for a trade? What the hell is the difference? Right? Like, I would want to be secure enough as an organization to say, we're doing this on a 1 year trial because it benefits the team. We're going to make the player. It works out both ways. You kind of got a handshake agreement in a way, and you can do it, right? There's nothing illegal about it. There's nothing saying you can't do it, right? This is not even cap circumvention whatsoever, because there's nothing, because right now, if you sign a 1 year extension, the deal is you can't sign for 1 year. You can't sign your extension until after January, right? Because basically they say you can't sign a deal on July 1st for 1 year, and then on September 30th, sign a 1 year extension, right? Like a 4 year extension. They don't allow that. They have it, so it's January. So it's not until the next calendar year. So
that's fine.
There's nothing in here that's illegal at all.
I mean, in the end, Jay, I don't really care how it shakes down. I'm not overly, you know, I would never instruct Connor McDavid on how he should handle that version of his affairs. I mean, that's just not what I'm doing. In the end, you want Connor McDavid on your team for as long as possible. And if it turns out that you make one of these deals and that works for everybody, okay. Like I guess what I'm trying to say is Connor McDavid makes this decision. This is, you know, this is a rare negotiation where the McDavid camp with agent Judd Moldaver, they tell you how it's going to go. McDavid names his price. He names his term. No one's trying to negotiate Connor McDavid down. I just don't see it. He's not a normal player. He's the best player in the world, and you'll pay anything to have him on your team. So if Judd Moldaver thinks this is a good idea, it might happen. If he doesn't, it will never happen.
Yeah, no, it's true. do I think it's going to happen, Spec? I don't. It's an interesting one to look at. And yeah. I do, as we're speaking, I do have to look up the CBA to wonder if that January extension can't be done until after January of the final year. Which would mean instead of signing in July of next summer, he would sign in January of the following year, which would freak out people. So maybe they don't want to do it. But that's where it comes down to some trust factor on both sides, right? So so we'll see.
Well, I would say to you that they have a trust factor. This, you know, McDavid's it's the only team he's ever played for. They have not won a Stanley Cup, but they're absolutely, I'll say this for sure, you know, Connor McDavid and his camp cannot look at the Oilers and say, you've not given me a chance to win a cup here, right? You can't say that, and he would never say that. They've been to two cups in a row. So it seems pretty, you know, his best buddy whose wedding he's going to, I'd likely be the best man, is coming up here. He just signed an 8-year deal. I don't have a lot of angst about Connor McDavid signing here. I love this conversation. It's a cool, interesting, you know, deal we're talking about here. But I don't have a lot of fear or angst about whether or not Connor McDavid is going to suit up for the Edmonton Oilers 12 months from October.
No, I don't. I don't see it being an issue at all. I could see an extension done before the end of August. I've been saying that for a year, so I'm not going to switch off of that.
Right.
You mentioned Ekholm, Spec. Do you have any concerns at all about Ekholm's, you know, he didn't have a great regular season. Obviously, you know, I don't put much stock into the Cup finally being hurt. You know, probably rushed back a little bit too early. But, you know, he's 35 years of age. He's a big guy. You know, he's never been the most fleet of foot. Do you have any concern about signing him to a 2-year extension that would kick in when he's 36?
Yeah. I'm going to, in a short word, yes. I mean, I've always loved the player. Like when he was in Nashville, I can recall him watching him play and thinking, oh man, what a good player. He's come to Edmonton. What a good player. What a leader. There's nothing wrong with that player except for the agent and his birth certificate, right? That is the only negative for me on that player. I guess I wonder why it has to happen a year ahead of time. I would be concerned if, you know, listen, we both covered sports a long time, Jason. Old players who start getting hurt, sometimes they just continuously get hurt all the way to the end.
Yeah.
Right? They're like your it's like that 2002 Tercel you're driving around that you fix the starter and the alternator goes, and you fix the alternator and the carburetor goes, and you fix that and the brakes are done. I've seen it with other players. I'm not telling you that's Mattias Ekholm, but I would be disappointed if I jumped the gun by a year and signed him like tomorrow, and then he had another year next season like he had last season, because then I'm quite worried that I've got two more years of a guy who's just going to be hurt all the time. He plays hard. He's the most honest player you're ever going to meet, you know, but injuries, what do they say, man? Father Time is undefeated. So has Father Time, was that just a bad year for Mattias Ekholm last year? Or is it the start of a trend? I don't know the answer to that, but I want to keep my powder dry a little bit longer and maybe have an idea on the answer to that before I sign that player.
Yeah, it's fair. And so that's why I wonder, you know, would you wait and, you know, re-sign him halfway through the year, right? Is there a rush
for sure
on Ekholm to do it? Like that's the one guy I wouldn't rush in on at all, right? Like he turns 36 next May. So
No need to rush. And here's a sad part about the business that is sports, Jason. We know this absolutely for sure about Mattias Ekholm. He and his wife and his family love it in Edmonton.
Oh yeah.
They love playing here. They love living here, right? And they make our city a better place, man. I'm here to tell you. So we're not worried that Mattias Ekholm is out there hunting a better, richer deal by $800,000 somewhere else. So what's our hurry? Why are we signing him today? What's the hurry here?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. 100%. Speck, as always, good to talk to you, buddy. We will chat tomorrow. Have a great day.
All right, man.
See you, Speck.